Hello, this is Taylor on the Deep Awareness, where we think about the thoughts on a daily basis and try to understand the concept of these thoughts, how they can help benefit us throughout our life and experience. Today I have a really interesting guest, a guest that has recently published a book called Chaos, Overcoming Chaos, am I correct?
Chaos, Overcoming the Overwhelming.
Yes, and it should be a really good read, and I definitely recommend for people to check it out. So, can you explain who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm officially, after 2 weekends ago, I won an award, so it's officially an award-winning book. And so that makes me an award-winning author, which is exciting to say. But I also own a consulting business where we help authors promote their material and get their books out there. I always like to share that our job is to help build the platform, and it's the author's job to stand on it.
I like that. That's sweet, yeah. Man. And I saw that you went to Barnes & Noble on one of your posts, and you said that you sold the majority of your copies. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, I've been so blessed to be able to get into Barnes & Nobles and do book signing events. And my first book signing event was really funny. They wheeled out this dolly of books, and I was thinking, oh man, you guys totally overestimated me. And I got a little nervous, but it ended up being a good event. And in fact, my first Barnes & Noble event ended up doubling typically what a book signing event does at that store. And because of that, I've just been able to get in other Barnes and Nobles and do other events with them. And it's been a wonderful experience.
Nice. That sounds really interesting. It seems like you're really good at what you do. That's awesome, man.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. So can you describe your book? What makes your book unique? What are the aspects that you recommend people to read it for?
Yeah, so I wrote Chaos when I was in my own storm, my own chaos of life. It started when, years ago, I was incarcerated and I lost everything. I ended up trying to take my own life because I felt like there was no life outside of incarceration. And because of that, I realized how important it is to make sure people, no matter what their chaos is, whether it's incarceration or addiction or the loss of a loved one or illness or job loss, the list is endless, but I want people to find purpose in their pain, but also understand that their pain was never their purpose, and to help people find hope again and find help again. No matter how much they feel as if they're hurting right now in this season of life. And so I wrote this book as really, it was therapeutic for myself to write it and to kind of just, write a letter to myself to say, hey, you know what? We're going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. Tell my family and friends, like, hey, we got this. But then it turned into more because I realized, wow, the things I'm telling myself is what I'm not the only person who needs to hear this. So many people, when chaos strikes, they feel hopeless. And I wanted to turn this book into a way of helping others. In fact, I'd say in the book is that it's when we experience pain, we find our purpose. And a lot of times after that, we find our platform. And that's what I believe this book has become. It's become a platform of sorts to help others in the midst of their own chaos.
I love that, man. It seems like you're extremely ambitious towards helping others, which is great. Yeah. So one thing that I've realized in my own experience is that according to my insource, or AKA my brain and my thoughts and feelings, I feel that each one of us goes through darkness at times. It may not be consistent and it may not be repetitive, but there will be times that we enter darkness because of the world being the world. We live in a world of many distractions, with the world, a world with an adversary trying to consume and corrupt. So I really like the idea of your book. It seems interesting because everybody goes through their own chaos. which means everybody needs a solution for that. And it seems like your book might resolve some of these solutions, which is great. Wouldn't you have a few solutions in your book? Like, if you do, would you be able to explain some?
Yeah, you know, because chaos comes in many different ways, I think a lot of times we're like, well, if you share your story about incarceration, this is just another prison sort of book. And I do want the listener to know it's more than that, because I recently lost my dad, and I was able to, during the edits of this book, go back and add how chaos comes in the form of loss. And that part in the book is just very raw and real, because it was while I was walking through it. And so I do want people to understand that no matter what chaos you're in, the steps to overcoming it is all very similar. And in some of those ways, I have a chapter called Eeyore Syndrome, for example, where we talk about like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, and how he always walked around and he moped. And it was one of those like, woe is me, you know, the cloud is over, always hanging over my head. And he just lived in his pain, and he never moved past it. And I'm sure he was annoying to be around. And when I look back at my own chaos, I'm sure there were moments where I was annoying to be around. But for me, the game changer in my life was when I stopped saying, all right, God, why me? And I started saying, God, use me. That was a big turning point for me. And love it, bro. I think that's truly where it begins for people, is when you go, all right, I'm gonna stop, I'm gonna go from victim to victor. And I really hone into that in different practical ways in which you can do that throughout the book. Yeah,
that is awesome, man. A lot of people ask, hey God, why am I suffering? Why do good things happen or bad things happen to good people? I think one of the more familiar answers that I'm concerned about, or that I realize and that I'm aware of, is that God granted us all agency. So with that in mind, there will be reactions to other people's agency. For example, if we have a politician, or if we have anything from the government, any leader from the government make a certain choice, there will be a bunch of reactions that follow, especially if they're higher up in a system or they have more leadership. So sometimes difficult moments and obstacles happen because of a reaction of agency. And so I feel like people should ask kind of the question you asked, God, why me? Instead of, ask God, use me, instead of God, why me? Because God only trusts people with the challenges he knows that they can overcome. And that seems like it's a very big part of your book too, huh?
Yeah, that's a big part. And I break down the book in three different sections. The first one is the fact that storms and battles are always going to come. And so the first section of the book is called Prepare. Because it's not one of those doomsday mindsets of like, well, just live in a bunker because life is horrible, you know, and hide from it. No, it's just understanding that when storms and battles come, it's better to be prepared than caught off guard. And so I spent a few chapters of learning who God is in your life, because it directly affects who you are. And so we look at that and we prepare. And prepare our minds, prepare our hearts. And then the second section of the book is in the midst. And it's like, okay, the storm is here. The battle has approached. We're living in the chaos. How do we overcome? How do we find purpose in our pain? And then the third section of the book is the aftermath. And the whole point of the aftermath is a few chapters is really to dive in and go, okay, the storm has come and gone. The battle is over. The aftermath, a lot of times we find ourselves after chaos, we find ourselves in rubble. We find ourselves broken. And so this is all about rebuilding. And how do we rebuild once the storm dissipates and the enemy retreats? And I love the third section of the book, and it's partially because, as someone, I call myself all the time like a chaos survivor, and but because I've experienced chaos, I now live in the aftermath. And it's the fact that we're never fully rebuilt. We're always rebuilding. And I try to hone in the fact that, okay, listen, you know, we can find purpose in our pain. Now, what do we do with it, first off? But also, how do we rebuild our lives again in a bigger, better way? With those three parts, there's preparing for chaos. There's we know storms and battles are going to come. So how do we prepare our hearts and our minds so when chaos approaches, we're not caught off guard? And then the second section of the book is all about in the midst. And it goes, okay, once the storm has arrived and the battle has is no longer approaching, it's here. How do we find purpose in this pain? And how do we walk through it victoriously instead of just living stuck in it? And then the third section is the aftermath. And I feel like this is a great part of the book. It's a few chapters long where we discuss, okay, once the storm dissipates, once the enemy retreats, a lot of times we're left to rebuild our life. And so we have to rebuild sometimes based off of what destruction has come through our chaos, but also sometimes we're left to find our identities again. I feel like chaos a lot of times leaves us in an identity crisis, making us feel like we are less than, or we're lonely, or we're rejected, or we're a lost cause. And that's something I really hone into, is that we're not a lost cause. We're a found child of God, and really helping people find who they are as people, but also who they are through the lens of our Father, God. So, yeah.
That is awesome, man. That is a great perspective to have. So I have a way that I explain it, and it kind of sounds a little weird, but I like to think of my problems, my obstacles that I'm facing, like a little anthill. And I'm that ant climbing that hill. And this is more than a internal perspective too. So now I'm an ant climbing up an anthill, facing all these difficulties and problems. But when we look down on an ant and we see an ant climbing their hill, do we know that there's a lot more to that little hill and obstacles? Well, I would hope people would say yes to this question, because there is so much more going than just one little problem that we may face. And even if it's a large and difficult problem, it's still something super simple on our existence, or in our existence, and our external existence, or our eternal existence. So I feel like it's interesting to notice your problems as being extremely small and a very short-term problem. I feel like that's what problems are. They're all short-term. Some might be a little bit longer than others, but we can overcome anything that we put our minds through.
Yeah.
So that means there's always a solution.
You know, and that's the thing about ants too, is they're resilient. You know, if I go outside right now and step on an ant bed, that they look like they're running around, and it looks like chaos. You know, like they're like, ah, run for your life. But realistically, what they're doing is they're just like, okay, well, it broke down. Like our home broke down. And they're just running around picking up pieces, and they're starting to rebuild. It's that resilience of going, all right, awesome, when we break down, we build. We have to start building ourselves back up. And I think that's a lot of times where we find our breakthrough, is not in the brokenness, but through the brokenness. And it's super important to have that resilience and know that when chaos comes, no matter who's listening to this, who feels as if, wow, my spouse, you know, left me, or, you know, I just lost my job, or I'm struggling with addiction. It doesn't matter what your chaos is. Bottom line is, don't give up. Know that the storm is going to let up. You will be able to see clearly again, and you will be able to push forward again. And it's just holding on to that hope and fighting through resilience.
Nice, man. So I'm a big believer in God and a big believer in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is probably one of the most best examples we can have. He was satisfied throughout all of his suffering. I feel like that's where power comes from, is when you're satisfied no matter what situation you're in, you become an ultimate person. Even though it doesn't take away your difficulties, it just makes you perceive them a different way. It makes you happy for what you have rather than what you may lose. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are in their situation complaining. And kind of like what you explained earlier with the Eeyore effect or syndrome or whatever, where he's always negative. He always saw the glass half empty. You know what? When you have that perspective, it actually becomes more empty as you continue to think about it. And you start draining the source that you see or you perceive or the feelings that you have, and it drains it. It makes you feel more incomplete as days go by. We can see our problems as a bad thing, or we can see them as a thing, a lesson, something that we have to go through and grasp so we can obtain a different knowledge to perfect what we have for our wisdom. And so
what are your thoughts about that, Noah? Looking at the life of Jesus is what I kind of do pretty much throughout the whole book, and not kind of, but for sure what I do. And I would say that how I broke down that there's three sections of chaos, like prepare, in the midst, and the aftermath. No one knows that better than Jesus himself. In fact, he was preparing. He knew chaos was coming. So before he was taken away to suffer on the cross, it was Thursday. He was preparing by praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then once his chaos struck, it was, you know, Good Friday. Here we see him getting crucified, and we see his friends and followers do a lot of what our friends do. Unfortunately, when we find ourselves in the midst of chaos, is a lot of them fled. They ran away. Some, you know, cursed him even. And so it's realistically, he understands what we understand. He can empathize with us in that realm, but also, thirdly, like the aftermath is what I would call, you know, Sunday, of course, Resurrection Sunday with Easter. And it's the fact that he understands the aftermath and rebuilding once your chaos dissipates and ends, simply because he experienced. He's the living proof of it. And I think for a lot of us, we have to remember when we're in our chaos that Friday, you know, we call it Good Friday, but we did not coin that term, Good Friday, until after Sunday happened, after the resurrection of Jesus, after there was victory. And I think we have to hold on and understand that if we're right now struggling or we're suffering from some form of chaos, we have to understand right now in the midst of it, it may not feel good at all, and it most likely won't feel good at all. But once that resurrection moment comes and your life is revived and your purpose is awakened, you're going to have that moment when you can finally look back at your chaos and go, wow, it was good because Sunday came and here I am living in my purpose. I have a platform. I'm now helping others in the same place that I found myself a long time ago.
That's beautiful, man. Yep, everything is a process. Pain, suffer, obstacles is definitely a process, but also happiness, peace, content is a process itself. So we have to understand the process, and as we understand the process, we understand the outcome, not the situation we're in as we are trying to achieve a outcome. So the last thing I would like to discuss is how can we use endurance? How can we perceive the power of endurance? How can we take this endurance capabilities to help us achieve what we desire?
The biggest thing about endurance is that refusal to give up. It's the understanding that, okay, if I fight through now, eventually I'll be able to get through it. And what I mean, like, you know all about working out, and the reality is sometimes you're like, okay, I'm going to do you know, 10 push-ups. Let's just use that as an example. When it's easy to endure when you're on push-up number 7, knowing that there's only 3 left, right? But if you're just doing push-ups all day and your trainer's saying, well, just keep going until I say stop, it's a lot harder to endure when you don't know how much longer you really have to do it. And I think that's what makes enduring your chaos and your pain very difficult, is because we know, especially as Christians, we know that Sunday is coming. You know, if I can use that analogy again, you know, that Sunday is coming. But a lot of times we don't know when. And so the only task we're left with doing is to endure. It is to hold out hope for tomorrow. And that's the biggest thing about endurance, is there, it's connected to hope. It's knowing that I don't know when my chaos and when my pain is going to end, but I know it will. And so today I'm going to keep pushing, because it may be tomorrow. I mean, I would hate to see someone stop running the good fight, you know, running the good race on lap 7 when lap 8 was their final lap. And so when it comes to endurance, it's just holding on, believing that your last lap is coming in regards to your pain, and holding out for a better tomorrow.
That is awesome, man. Well, it seems like you might inspire a lot of people through your journey. There's a lot of people that really do need to hear your message. So for anybody who's going through their darkness and their chaos, please check out his book. Can you refer the link or the name of your book one more time for the people that might not
really... Yeah, the book is called Chaos Overcoming the Overwhelming. And if you go to thenoahasher.com, you'll find all the links where you can purchase it. So like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, etc. But everything is just one simple hub at thenoahasher.com.
That is awesome, man. I think pain is a very temporary thing. Actually, I know for a fact that it is, because I've witnessed pain and I've witnessed my outcome after I surpassed that pain or suffering. It didn't last forever. So for anybody who's going through their pain and suffering, just know that you are just climbing a little anthill. That means there's a lot more than the anthill. There's probably millions of anthills out there, but still they're so tiny compared to eternal perspective. So I want you guys to know that you're not alone. We all are fighting our own chaos and storms, and they may be overwhelming. Either way, there will be a solution. If we find the solution and use it to our own advantage, I know for a fact that you can make it out of your chaos. Well, Noah, I am super thrilled to have you on my podcast, and I do appreciate your time and effort that you spent to prepare for this podcast. Is there any last thing you'd like to say?
I think you said it well, is that bottom line is, listener, no matter how heavy the storm feels, like your life may feel like it's in right now, just know that the storm won't last forever. There will be brighter days. There will be sunny days again. So just hold on. For now, endure. And believe that the overcoming, the overwhelming is just right around the corner for you.
Perfect, man. Well, this is the deep awareness, where we think about our own thoughts and we become aware of our subconscious, or things that people aren't usually aware of. We want to be aware of overcoming chaos and to endure through anything that you can endure through, because if that's the case, then your awareness will be sharpened through peace. And peace can definitely enlighten your mind. So this is the deep awareness, and we thank you all for coming in, preparing and participating into this podcast. We do appreciate every support that we get. Thank you. This is the deep awareness.